We're looking at Perek Lamed He, which is Parshas Vayakel, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, and I'll read to you the Pasuk. It says, Re'u Kara Hashem B'Shem B'Tzalel Ben Uri Ben Chur Lemata Yehuda. So the Torah identifies Bezalel, the architect of the Mishkan, as not only the son of Uri, the grandson of Chur, which that itself is unusual when you identify a person by his grandfather, but also by his shevet, Lamata Yehud. So keep in mind that the Meshech Chachma is going to be confused, and he's going to try to answer this question. What is the emphasis here on the grandfather and on the shevet? And we'll put that in the back burners for now. Ha'inyan. Whenever he opens up with the word Ha'inyan, what he's indicating is that there's got to be some sort of a background here, and the parasha that we're studying has to be placed and understood in a wider background. What is the background? And he says the following. Now this is what I call Hakafa Aleph. This is Roman numeral number one. The main thrust of what we want to discuss is going to be Roman numeral number two. We'll get to it in about 5 or 6 minutes. He quotes the Yavetz. The Yavetz lived approximately 5 centuries ago at the time of great religious persecution against the Jews, and at a time when the Christians were forcing Jews to be baptized at the pain of death. And the Yavetz claims that he witnessed a very strange phenomenon, very paradoxical. He says that the Jewish nation fit into 2 categories. There were those who were great scholars, they were intellects, and then there was the, shall we call it, the rank and file citizens. And when it came to this great challenge of what we call Mesiras Nefesh, it was, this is a paradox, it was the rank and file Jews, not the scholars, who immediately, without even thinking, were willing to give up their lives, which they did, in acts of Mesiras Nefesh, great sacrifice. The scholars, sometimes they found, you know, intellectual inquiries, pilpulim, you know, they found some sort of an argument, maybe, maybe not, maybe, you know, perhaps some of them said, well, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, let's accept their religion and then we'll work it out afterwards, you know, this kind of thing. So Rabbi Simcha, based on that testimony, says that Mesiras Nefesh, to be willing to give up your life rather than submit to this persecution, Tzarech Lios Belo Chakira, it has to be without investigation, below his Chakmus Yisera, without too much intellectual didactics. Put that all on the side. He gives an example of Shevet Yehuda at the Yamsuf, when the challenge was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go into the Yam, go forward. And Nachshon ben Aminadav, without thinking, as a descendant of Yehuda, Masar Atzmo B'Yam, B'Mesiras Nefesh, Chazal describe how he went into the Yam, the water started climbing and climbing, reached his nose, and he started praying to Hashem to save him. He jumps into the water. There's no chakira, there's no hischakmus. It simply comes from the lev, from the heart, from the essence and the intuition of a Jew about what it's right to do at a particular moment, a critical crossroads in Jewish history. Who else do we find was willing, without thinking, to put his life on the line, and indeed he died? Chur. Chur was the one who stood up against the Jewish people when they made the eagle. And he said, no, Avodah Zarah, this is intolerable. And he was murdered. Chur is the grandfather of Bezalel. Writes Rav Meir Simcha in the Meshech Chochma Shachakira, too much investigation, Ma'akev Ratzon HaPnimi Milimsar Nafsho Al Kiddush Hashem. It creates an ikuv. An ikuv means a barrier, and it inhibits a person from his willingness to go through with Mesiras Nefesh. What we need is below chakira, without this intellectual pilpul, without his chakmus, yoser midai. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Bezalel inherits through the genes, the spiritual genes of his grandfather Chur, all the way back to Yehuda, back to Nachshon ben Aminadav, this total, all-encompassing devotion and dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is going to give every last ounce of energy to build God's Mishkan. Without questions, without chakiros, just do what's right for the sake of Hashem. This is what he inherits from his forefathers. And what is his reward? Vayimale oso chachma bechachmo bedas. Because he is above das, he's above chachma, therefore mida keneged mida, measure for measure, his reward is dafka going to be that God grants him chachma and das. Ad kana kofa aleph. Now, to understand Akof HaBeis, the Meshech Chochma says, U'b'gemara b'perka roeh, and he quotes a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Nud Hei Amid Aleph. The Gemara in the name of Rab Shmuel Bar Nachmeni wants to analyze the name Bezalel. What is the name? What is the significance of the name? And he says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Aseh Mishkan, build a Mishkan, Aron v'Kelim. The Aron and other Kelim like the Mizbeach and the Shulchan and the Menorah. Bishah, Omalo, Shema, Mishkan, Aron v'Kelim. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, wait a minute, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling me? Is he telling me to build the Mishkan first, and then the Aron and Kelim second? That didn't make any sense to Moshe Rabbeinu. Halach Moshe v'Hafech. Moshe went to Bezalel, and he switched the order around. The Omer Lo, and he said to him, Asei Aron v'kelim u'mishkan. Instead of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded him, Asei Mishkan Aron v'kelim, he said, Asei Aron v'kelim v'mishkan. Means the Aron and the Kelim should come before the Mishkan. Omer Lo, Moshe Rabbeinu. So Bezalel said, I don't understand. Minhago shel olam, the normal way of doing something, is that Adam bone bayis, he builds a house, v'achakach, and then the kelim. You know, you don't buy a table and a chair and a couch and a fridge until you have a house. So first you build a house. V'ata omer, and you're telling me, aseli aron v'kelimu mishkan, kelim shani osa le'echan achnisam. What do you mean, I'm creating kelim? What function, what purpose the kelim have? I don't even have a bias, I don't have a mishkan. Shema, perhaps, kach omer lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe perhaps this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant to tell you, aseh mishkan, first build a mishkan, and then build the aron v'kelim. Omer lo, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, hey, you know what? You figured out what God commanded me. I switched it around. I didn't think that God meant that this was the order. I thought God was just saying, you know, build me a mishkan, and then start with the aron and the kelim. But you, Bezalel, you were mechaven, you understood what God actually meant when he said, aseh mishkan aron v'kelim. And therefore you are Bezalel Kel. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the name of Bezalel, he splits it right down the middle. Bezalel Kel. Hayisav yadata. You were in the shadow of the of God. You were together with God. You understood what God meant. I didn't understand what God meant. That's the Gemara in Perek HaRoa. Says Rabbeinu Simcha Bir HaInyan. I want to explain what was going on here. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's thought process? And what was Bezalel's? In order to understand that, Rabbeinu Simcha introduces a parallel, almost a mirror image of two things on two sides. And one is the pratius of Yisrael, meaning Adam prati mi Yisrael, every single individual Jew, and the kelim in the Mishkan, every individual kelim. And Rabbi Simcha says that just like every single individual Jew, when he links up with the other members of his nation, he forms a klal, so too every individual part of the Mishkan, when it joins together, it forms a Mishkan. The Mishkan is the totality. And here Rabbi Meir Simcha says there are three levels of Kedusha. The first level of sanctity is Adam Prati Mi Yisrael, every individual Jew, every member of Klal Yisrael. The second level of Kedusha is every single kli, like the Aron and the Mizbeach and the Menorah, etc. Each kli has a Kedusha, which in and of itself is greater because it represents all of Klal Yisrael. It's greater than the Adam Prati, than the Kedusha of an individual Jew. But the highest level of Kedusha, that's the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, which is the Kedusha of the Mishkan. The Mishkan means the entirety, the totality. The Echad. Echad means that one entity which unifies all the other individual parts. And Rabbi Simcha says, Klal Yisrael, by far, is a Kedusha that is greater than all the other individual Kedushas. He quotes the Chazal in Vayikra Rabbah that Bereshis, God created the Bria, the entire creation, Bishvil Reshis, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikres Reshis. The Klal of Yisrael is Reshis. And that's the purpose for which God created the world. For Klal Yisrael as an entity, that's the highest level of Kedusha. The Mishkan, as an entity, as a totality, reflects or represents Klal Yisrael b'chibur, when they're all connected into one entity. For example, he says the Mishkan requires krushim, requires urios. You have the boards of the Mishkan, and you have the curtains, and what connects them is called the krushim. those are the hooks that connect them together, until finally it becomes Mishkan Echad, it becomes one entity. I'm reminded here of a psychological school of thought which is called the Gestalt psychology, where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. He says, in Parshas Truma, what you get is the Pratius. You get the individual parts of the Mishkan. And the Torah tells Moshe Rabbeinu to create the Aron, and the Menorah, and the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach. This is all enumerated and mapped out in Parshas Truma. But then we have another parsha, and that's Parshas Ki Tisa. In Parshas Ki Tisa, Hashem commands to build the Mishkan. Parshas Truma, you find Kalim and then Mishkan. But when we get to Parshas Truma, Parshas Ki Tisa, then Hashem says, Asei Mishkan, Aron v'Kelim, the Mishkan comes first. Because this command is the command of the Mishkan. So if Parshas Truma, individual parts or segments or Kelim of the Mishkan, represents the Pratius of every Adam Prati Yisrael, then Parshas Ki Tisa represents the Mishkan, which is Klal Yisrael. And he writes that the Mishkan, Sheklal Yisrael Boim B'Tocho, the Mishkan where the entire nation goes into the Mishkan, Mekudash Yoser, it has a greater sanctity. B'Makom Amiyuad L'Shechina, in that location which is designated for the Shechina. Uklolus Ha'eda, and the entity of Klal Yisrael as an assembly, as a nation, as a congregation, is Kedosha. It represents a Kedusha. Ein La Shir. It means it is endless and it's infinite. And now, Rabbi Simcha says, I'm ready to understand the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel, two different approaches. Moshe Rabbeinu reflects what we saw in Parshas Truma, and he assumes that first Asei Aron V'Kelim U'Mishkan, just like the Torah indicates in Parshas Truma that you make the individual segments, then at the end, after you build the Kelim, you build the Mishkan. The Seder has to have be Kelim first and Mishkan second. Why? Because until we have the Mishkan, we only have Pratius, we only have the individual members of Klal Yisrael. We only have the individual parts of the Mishkan. It makes sense to go from that level of building one after the other, and finally achieving the culmination of the Mishkan. But Bezalel, his vision is a different vision. He's a Mishkan person. He sees the ultimate goal. The purpose of this entire enterprise is to create the Mishkan, which represents Klal Yisrael. And therefore that has to come first, because that's the greatest Kedusha. And we always have to start with the greater level of Kedusha. And here Rabbi Simcha quotes another Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Nun Hei. And the Gemara says about Bezalel, Shayodea Litzaref Osios. He knew exactly how to combine the letters, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, Kedei Laholid Inyan Gavah, to create something that is very lofty. Asher Eino Bepratim Ela Beklal. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Siruf Osios. He took the various letters in the Aleph Beis and he joined them together in such a way that he created the world. And Bezalel had that same ability to gather together, integrate the letters of the Torah to form a Kedusha which is Gavah, a very high level Kedusha, which is the Mishkan, which Eino Bepratim Chak Beklal. Ukemoshe Kosu, Fayar Lukim is Kol Asher Asavine Tov Mod. God sees the entire Kol Asher Asav, the entirety, the totality, the whole, is so too. Bezalel sees the whole. He sees the Mishkan, the greatest Kedusha, the ultimate sanctity, and therefore that sanctity represents the Klal Yisrael. That's where he wants to start the process. Moshe Nitztame V'Tchila Kelim U'L'Basof Mishkan. Moshe represents building up from each individual and every single Kli of the Mishkan, and then at the end, the Mishkan. And Bezalel represents the Mishkan in its highest, most lofty, most intense level of Kedusha. That has to come first. Later on in Parshas Vayakel, and this, if you want to turn to Perek Lamed Zayin, it says, Vayas Bezalel Es Ha'oron. Now it's interesting. There are many kelim that appear throughout these parshios. They were all created by Bezalel, but only with regard to one particular keli does the Torah go out of its way to say Vayas Bezalel, mentioning it by name, and that's the Aron. And the Meshech Chachma addresses the following question: why is it that since Bezalel created all the kelim, only with regard to the Aron does the Torah write Vayas Bezalel Es Ha'aron? And he says the following: Mashalokasa Bekulu Bezalel. Why isn't Bezalel's name mentioned with regard to all the other kelim, only with regard to the Aron? And the Meshech Chachma comes up with a very original thesis. He says, "Mishum sheshar dvarim asu gam acherim." Now I'm stopping in the middle of a sentence for pedagogical reasons. He says, "The other kelim were created by others." Others meaning not just Bezalel. What does that mean? That doesn't make any sense. Bezalel made all the kelim. So I stopped in the middle of a sentence. He says, "Bebeis olamim." Beis olamim is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash that was built at the time of Shlomo HaMelech. And all the kelim of the Mishkan of Bezalel were all gone, and therefore Shlomo had to commission the recreation of all those kelim. So they built a Mizbeach, and they built a menorah, and they built a Shulchan, and whatever else they built. So therefore, Bezalel, from the perspective of Batei Mikdashos, does not have exclusive rights to claim that I created the kelim, because these kelim would be created as a replacement for the Mishkan by others at the time of Shlomo. However, there's one keli that Bezalel and only Bezalel created, and that's the Aron. That Aron, which housed the Shtei Luchos HaBris, is now Begniza. Do you remember the Charney? Yeah. Do you remember the Spielberg movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark? That's called Gniza. What are we looking for? Again, Spielberg will tell him where to find it. But what are we looking for? Which Aron? The Aron that was created by Bezalel. That Aron was never replaced. It's somewhere hidden below the surface of the ground. Anything that was created afterwards was a different entity, because the Aron had to house the Shtei Luchos HaBris. And we no longer have the Shtei Luchos HaBris. They are Begniza together with the Aron. Whose Aron? The Aron of Bezalel. And that Aron is unique, and there was no replacement for that Aron. Hence, only with regard to this Keli, the Aron, does the Torah mention the name Bezalel. Vayas Bezalel is Aron, because he and only he would create the Aron. The Od and others, Lo Asu Acherim, Ki Ein Lasos Luchos Acherim, we cannot replace the Luchos, there's only the real McCoy Luchos, the original. Verak Aron Bezalel, only the Aron of Bezalel, Hu Shekayom Lidoros, that it continues throughout the generations for all of posterity, velo acher, and not a different Aron. And then Rabbi Simcha says, perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makpid that no one would create an Aron for all generations, for the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, and even for the Shlishi, except for Bezalel. Because Bezalel, when he created the Aron, he created something on top of the Aron, and that's called the Kruvim. Now let me give an introduction to the next presentation of Rabbi Simcha. This is based on a Gemara in Yuma on Daf Chaf Aleph. The Kruvim were molded with precious metal, one to the shape of a female and one to the shape of a male. And the Gemara says these were molded images. Now, that phrase, molded images, by sheer association, should remind you of one area which is one of the three cardinal sins. What do I have in mind? Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells us, "K'shenichnasu goyim leheichal," at the time of the Churban Abayis, our enemies entered into the Holy of Holies, and guess what they saw? They saw the two Kruvim hugging each other. They took them, the Kruvim, out of the Migdash, and they stood around making fun. And they said, wait a minute, the Jewish people, who are at such a high level that, you know, the Torah says about the Jewish people that when they give a blessing, it's a real blessing. If they give a curse, it's a real serious curse. These are the Jewish people. This is what they have inside their Migdash. They have a male and a female hugging each other. And these are molded images that look like Avodah Zarah. And then it was Zalzel in the Kruvim and the whole story of it. Says Rav Meir Simcha V'itochen Od, let's embellish the fact that it was Bezalel and only Bezalel who would create the Aron with the Kruvim on top. The Amru Yuma Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph Bishosh Nichlisu Goyim Leheichal Ro Kruvim Hamurim Zebaze Hotziam Lashuk V'Amru Yisrael Halolu Shebirchasim Bracha V'Kilosim Klolo Yasku B'Dvar Malolu. They're creating these images, and they have certain innuendos and Miyad Hizilum, and they were mezalzel in the Kruvim. In fact, he quotes a Mechilta that says Lo Tasun on the Pasuk in Yisro. It says Lo Tasun Iti Elohei Kesef, etc. Shim Asu Osan Shal Kesef Harein Ki Ilu Asu Elohei Kesef. In other words, if they would make the Kruvim out of Kesef, it would be like a violation of Lo Tasun Isi Elohei Chesef, making, you know, some sort of an idol. Says Rav Meir Simcha, Kain Choshash Hashem Yisbar, God had a fear, Shema perhaps, Achrei Shechatu B'Egel, right, this entire enterprise of building the Mishkan comes after the Cheta Egel. The Jews were therefore nagua, you know, they were contaminated and influenced by idolatry. I mean, they created a molten image of a calf. Shema, perhaps, God is a little bit scared here because not long after the Egel, they build the Mishkan. Kshiyasa Echad, if somebody, some anonymous person, would build the Aron, together with the Kruvim, Yovel Laharer, perhaps some thoughts would cross his mind. Eizem Achshava Zora. Zora means Avodah Zora. Hanote Lidarke Hatalsmos. These were certain idol worshippers, Vatzabeim. And again, the thoughts and the mindset of those creators of the Mishkan had to be totally pure. Lachain, God says, I have a solution. Bachar b'Bitzalel. He would designate Bitzalel to build the Aron with the Kruvim. Bitzalel and only Bitzalel, no one else, would go near this enterprise of manufacturing the Kruvim. Why? What's so unique about Bitzalel? Sha'avi Aviv. Who's Avi Aviv? Chur. Negag al Shemicha b'asiyas ha'egel. He was one who stood up, tried to prevent the Jewish people from making the Egel, and he was murdered. Bitzalel, as his grandson, enjoys that spiritual legacy. Mitzad HaChinuch, the way he was brought up, Mitzad HaTeva, even in terms of his spiritual DNA structure, Husone, he finds repulsive, Kol Anotim, Achrei HaHevel, Vatziur, Ushum Dmus, Utmuna. It's intolerable. He finds it intolerable for anyone to create this vanity and these images, and he calls them Dmus. Ubal Yovo, he would never chas v'shalom come l'shum to any machshava zora klal. His thoughts would be pure and dedicated to Hashem and only to Hashem. L'chem k'siv v'yas b'tzalel es ha'oron shehu levado oses ha'oron b'lo shum siyua. B'tzalel would not invite anyone else to participate with him, because you never know what might happen if somebody else gives a hand, lends a hand to creating the Kruvim. He might, chas v'shalom, have this machshava. I mean, we saw that the Jewish people worship the Egel. Who knows what would be? Ubaze yivura, shashem yizbar, kodim asiyas Egel omar, re'ei karasi b'shem b'tzalel, v'amali also b'choch b'etc. lasos b'chol molocha. Hashem already designated b'tzalel and filled him with chachma to do all this malacha. Kishaomar Moshe Yisrael, Katuv, the pasuk says, Lasos bechol maleches machsheves. This was after the Egel. The malach had to be tahora, without any hiru, without any thought of some sort of physical representation of a tzir geshem, of tadnis udmus. That's called maleches machsheves. Maleches machsheves means machshava tahora, a clear, pure, clean machshava thought that's dedicated to the creation of the Aron and the Kruvim. So just to summarize here, we have two explanations as to why the pasuk, in the case of the Aron, went out of its way to indicate that it was Bitzalel, and why the Torah, as we discussed before, identifies Bitzal as the grandson of Chur. One explanation of the Aron is that no one would replace the Aron of Bitzalel, not in the first Beis HaMikdash and not in the second, etc. Bitzalel was the one who created the Aron, which housed the Luchos HaBris, and the only Aron that went into hiding and would never be replaced. And the second explanation is that God emphasizes Bitzalel here. And the reason for that is because anyone else would be enjoined from creating the Aron with the Kruvim, because God was afraid that there might, heaven forbid, be some admixture of some thoughts of Avodah Zarah. But Bitzalel, as the grandson of Chur, with that legacy, had the pure thoughts, and he could be trusted to create the Kruvim. In the last few minutes that we have, let's give a little time for Parshas Pekudei. And I'd like to talk to you about what's called the Mizbach HaZav, which is the golden Mizbach that was in the Heichal, otherwise known as the Mizbach HaPnimi. It has a third name, it's called the Mizbach HaKtores, and on a daily basis, the Kohen would burn the Ktores on this Mizbach. So if you can, open up to Perek Mem of Sefer Shmos, Pasuk Hei. V'nasata es Mizbach HaZav L'Ktores Lifnei Aron HaEdus. So Rabbi Meir Simcha in his Meshech Chachma uses this pasuk as an opportunity to discuss the Ktores, which was burnt, as we said, on the Mizbach HaZav. And if we want to ask about the Ktores, which had a wonderful, fragrant odor, and it was placed on the Mizbach HaZav in the Heichal, Lifnei HaParoches, it was right there in front of the Aron, the Paroches, the Kapores. He quotes the Rambam in Mor Nevuch. You know that the Rambam wrote his Mora in order to guide people who found Judaism very foreign to them, and the Rambam tried to bring it a little closer by giving various rational explanations for the mitzvahs. And Rabbi Meir Simcha calls the Rambam here Kadmonim Mehem, amongst the early commentaries. Omar, and he says, the Tam HaKtores, this is in, by the way, the third chelek of Mor Nevuchim. The reason for the Ktores with this fragrant odor, whom ipnei shelo yeh reach, in order to dissipate the foul odor, kibimkomos shemefatmim abasar, because in the Migdash there was so much burning of meat, sarfim chalovim, chalovim of various fats, tomin, yom, v'layla, kidei lahashiv hareach, in order to, you know, it's like a, what do they call those air fresheners? The Ktores, says the Rambam, was made as an air freshener, kidei lahashiv reach tov, so in other words, to remove the foul odor of the various burnings of the meats and the fats, lefate maktores lariach abesomim, and they were shochtim bebokum amigdosh behemos rabos, mechatchim es abosar, sofim rochtzim bo, hakerev, hakroayim, and hayarecham kareach makomos abosar, very strong odors of burnt meat, because Baboker, Barbayim, you know, the Tomin in the morning, the Tomin, they were constantly burning meat. Is Kedei Lahativ, Lahativ, Recho, is therefore they were commanded to take the Reach HaKtores. And the Rambam quotes a Mishnah in Tomid, that Miyericho, even as far away from Yerushalayim as Yericho, Hayimarichim Reach HaKtores. That's how wonderful the smell was. So basically, just to summarize, the Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim identifies the Ktores as this fragrant odor. I call it the air freshener. Says Rabbi Meir Simcha, Ukvar tzavchu al zeh. They yell about this, meaning the later commentaries rise up against the Rambam to reject his view. D.M. Cain, if the Rambam was right, Mida u'mishkal lamali. Why is there, given by the Torah, such a precise measurement of the volume and the weight of the Ktores? Why do we need all those precise measurements? Why not just, fresh in the air, and you'll figure out, at what point you've succeeded in counterbalancing the foul odor. Va'odi says, furthermore, they ask, Lama chiyavta chivasa Torah kareis lemefateim kamosa. The Torah says that if you in your own home would follow the instructions and the ingredients and create your own homemade ktores, you chayv kareis for that. Why? Why should you be chayv kareis for creating an air freshener? You know, the air freshener they used in the Migdash, that should be a very good recipe for all of us to create for our own homes, an air freshener. Why is the Torah so upset about someone who creates a Torah, that he's Chayav Koretz? Ule Daiti, Rav Meir Simcha now wants to add what he calls a TKO, another Kasha. This is the ultimate question against the Rambam. Ktores Shel Shivas Yimei HaMiluim Yochiach. The Ktores was actually burnt during the 7 days of Miluim. Vadayin lo karvu krovos harvei. There were very few karbonis that were brought during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim. And yet, there was a need to burn the Ktores, according to the Rambam. Why would they need a Ktores during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim? I mean, there were very few karbonis that were brought. I mean, there's no reason to assume that the whole place, was affected or afflicted with this bad smell. He says the final upshot of this is to reject the Rambam, and the purpose of Ktores is not for those who come into the courtyard of the Migdash, and heaven forbid they would be overwhelmed by a foul odor. That's not true. Otherwise, why would they already start the Ktores during the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim? But rather, who l'reach nichoach l'tzorech gavoah. The purpose of the Ktores is reach nichoach l'Hashem, for the purpose of God. In other words, God, although God is obviously infinite, he's not physical, he's not material, he doesn't need any good odors, he doesn't smell them, he doesn't need them, but nevertheless, he asks us, the Jewish people, to do him a favor, so to speak, litzora kavoa, and burn the Ktores. Ukshwam kvosha omru, like the Gemara says in Menachos Daf Samach Dalid, avoda, all the service in the Migdash, was litzora kavoa. Keilu, for the benefit, for the sake of God. Again, it doesn't mean that God benefits from it. We benefit from it, but God makes it as if you're doing it for me. God says, do it for me. V'zei yodua l'aboyim b'sod Hashem. He says, for those who understand the mystical writings, the Kabbalistic writings that delve into the secrets of God in His Torah, kama ployim merumas b'ktores. There are so many mystical, beautiful, wonderful ideas that are indicated, are hinted by the Ktores. V'lochein omar mizbach hazov l'ktores lifnei Aaron ha'edus. That the Ktores, which is burnt on the mizbach hazov, should be right next to the Aaron ha'edus. The Aaron ha'edus represents the Shechina. The Shechina came down between the Kruvim, over the Aaron. Hainu shaktora Yelitzorech Shechina, to emphasize that the Ktores is Litzorech Shechina Ukvodo, it's for the glory of God, Asher Shochen al Oron Eidus, because God rests on top of the Oron. Visham Yad Kvodo Hashem Yisparach. That's where the glory of God is designated, to that place, and that's where we're going to bring the Ktores. And the reason why the Ktores was designated for that place is to emphasize and publicize that the Ktores is not for our purposes, as the Rambam would have it, just so we can enjoy that fragrant odor, but rather
L'tzorach hashchina, l'tzorach kavod.
So just to summarize, we saw three different pieces here in the Meshech Chachma. Each one has its own yesod, its own fundamental breakthrough, if you will, its own fundamental point. The first point was that Bezalel was Bezalel Kel. He understood God's command even without hearing it. And that the Mishkan has to come first because the Mishkan represents the Klal and it represents Klal Yisrael. That's the highest Kedusha. We always have to start with the highest Kedusha. Secondly, why is it that when it comes to the Aron, Bezalel is singled out, that he created the Aron? And thirdly, what's the meaning of the mitzvah of Ketores? And here the Meshech Chachma takes sharp debate against the opposition against the Rambam Shita. Again, it could be that the Rambam was trying to satisfy, you know, the intellectuals of his time, and he gave them, you know, some sort of a satisfactory answer that they could understand on their, you know, human psychological level, that the Ketores had to be burnt there in the place where there was so much meat that was being burned and fats were going up in smoke daily and constantly. But Rameh Simcha says no. The Torah is much deeper, much more profound. There are such ploim and secrets in the Sodei HaTorah, in the Ketores, and the Ketores is Litzorech Kovor. Hashem makes it as